What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to another live episode of the Fade Hour with the Ringside Rave Gang. This is your host, the Golden Voice, Maul, Bruising Boxing. Drinking right now a dark aged stout, bourbon barrel stout, about 12%. And yeah, I'm gonna kick it around the room to my fellas, and then we're gonna, you know, I'll introduce the topics, and then we'll go in from there.
What up, world? This is representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Hey, I'm here. Got a little batch of cookie dough with me. Feeling good. Feeling real special. Feeling real exquisite. Feeling real syllable using tonight, so we're gonna see what it's like. Holla at me.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke from Free Smoke Boxing. Like news, I got that new pack. I got Merlot cookies, which means it's champagne cookies. So you can imagine how good I feel. Let's get to it.
Yeah. What's good, Joe? It's Pat Scorp, the New England representative. And as always, man, I got my glass of red wine on me. So, yeah, man, I'm ready to get to this, man.
Bet, man. Again, thank y'all for tuning in, man. And we're actually tonight going to start off with the Arislandi Lara card. He returns to the ring for the first time since we last saw him lose a close decision to Jared Herb. And he's going to be taking on Brian Castano. Not a lot of people are familiar with him. You know, I just reading up on him, I know he was one of the ones who gave Derevyanchenko his only loss in the WSB. And this title will this will be for the WBA World Super Welterweight title. So yeah, I just want to go ahead and get everybody's thoughts on that. On this main event, and are you guys looking forward to it? And you know, who do you guys think will prevail?
I'm gonna be honest. When it came out, I had not even heard of Brian Castano, and I'm a boxing head like that. International Rez had to tell me that he beat Soto for like one of his only losses. That being said, for a main event, no, I'm not excited. Lara is not main event material unless it's against a dude like Jared Herd. So, main event would need some fireworks for me to be happy about it.
My thing, pretty much it's really just how much does Lara have left after right. That war with Herd. I mean, I think that's the big thing. Castano is very capable of actually telling us how much Lara has left. Castano is he's a good boxer. I mean he did his thing on the amateur level, and like I said, the Sorrow fight, you know, I see that fight was pretty damn good too. But yeah, Castano, I think he's a question mark, Red, in terms of like where is he right now in his development. I mean, right now he holds the secondary WBA welterweight title, super welterweight title. So yeah, I mean, pretty much we'll know for sure how good he is, and then or how past it Lara is. So, I mean, I think those are the questions. Now, as a main event, obviously, Lara is not the type of person I actually want to see in the main event, really. But like I said, but this fight just has some intrigue just to see, you know, does Lara have enough things left to circle, or are we gonna see Lara get another beating?
Yo, if I was a degenerate gambler like you are, Pat, I would be putting $200-$300 on fucking Castano because the upset is ripe.
Well, I haven't gambled in a minute, so I got my gambling under control.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, I'm not excited for the fight at all, personally. I don't know much about Brian Castano. But at the same time, kind of tired of seeing Lara. Tired of seeing Lara in the position that he is. So if Brian Castano could get a victory over Lara and put him out the pasture, that would be great. Because I don't want to see Lara versus Jermell Charlo or versus Jared Herd or anything like that coming up at all.
When those fights could have been made years ago.
I mean, we've seen him against Jerry Hurd. He did okay. Right. You know, I think it was a really good fight. But it's, I'm just tired of seeing, I don't know. It's just like, I'm not trying to see Lara again. I mean, because you already know what it is with Lara. I mean, when fighters get to the end of their career, that's when they want to fall on the sword. That's when they want to, oh, I'm an action fighter now. Look at me. Why can't you never lose your prime? I would have liked to see prime Lara go out there and throw hands with people, kind of like how he did with Paul Williams the one time. That was a very exciting fight to me. I would have liked to see him fight like that. But now, where he's, how old is he?
30.
Yo, but we talked about this.
How old is he?
He's a Cuban 35.
Right.
36.
Yeah, it's like in dog
so
years.
So he's like 52.
In terms of boxing. Right. In Cuban years and boxing years, he's like 52. He's very old. And I don't want to see him in this spot anymore. So I like Brian Castano. I'm rooting for him to get the victory. So I like to see somebody new in the mix.
Right.
154. I'm pushing a big heavy new face. A new face. We need to see new faces. It's about to be 2020. We need to see some new faces in the play. We've seen Lara for years now, and I'm going down for this.
Lara, real quick, Lara just seems the type that like he fights to the level of his competition. I've noticed that in his career, like when he's up against somebody that he's way more skilled, you just might as well not even watch because you're going to get bored to death. But the Lara that we saw versus Canelo and Trout and most recently Herb, he brought the action. So like I said, if Castano can bring it out of him, I think it'd be something. I like seeing him banging, but who knows how much he got left because Herb was hitting the fuck out of him.
Well, slight disagreement on that one. He fought the way he usually did with Canelo and with also with Trout too. I mean, really, the only time he was like the Paul Williams fight. I think that's the only fight I've actually seen him actually move forward on somebody.
Right. He was definitely on his bike versus Canelo in the second half of the fight. That man looked like Arizlandi Lara Armstrong.
I mean,
it didn't look like how he looked against Terrell Gachet or God. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't. I saw, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's what I mean. Like,
the only other fighter that actually managed to stifle that type of movement is Carlos Molina.
Angula for a bit, too.
Yeah, Angula managed to cut him off, too. But Molina and Angula are the only ones really to actually stop. Lara did move against Angula.
Right.
So the thing with Lara, when he moves, when he exits, and this is very typical of a guy who uses his feet a lot, when he moves out like he escapes, he drops his hand first. He drops his right hand for a split second, and that's how Angulo caught him both times. And even when they fought, Angulo was old. I mean, he was washed by then. So it's like if Jarrett Hurd put the beating on him that he did, and that was a career shortening fight for Lara.
Right.
If Castano can kind of read some of his, just like his footwork and his kind of like handwork and what his strategy is, I think if he relies on going after Lara when he's trying to move and has those little defensive lapses, I think he could have a lot of success. Also, I have been to a fight where Lara was the main eventer, and guess what happened?
We left.
Well, we.
I left. I left. Everyone knows it. It was my first card, and I went to see Arthur Beterbiev, shout out to Better Beast, part of the Smoke Squad. And by the third or fourth round of the Lara fight, I straight up left.
Who was it that he was fighting?
Just some guy. Edwin Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But you know what's crazy about it?
Right. Yes, I mean, I'd leave too.
What's crazy about it?
What's
crazy about it for me?
Yeah.
The crazy about it for me with the go ahead, Smoke. Go ahead.
Well, so I was going to say, it was someone Rodriguez, and I remember trying to give Pat shit for it for a while, but it wasn't Pat's, like, homie Rodriguez. It was just some random Rodriguez. And Pat, isn't, like, Edwin Rodriguez your boy?
Yeah, but he fought Delvin, not Edwin.
Yeah, he fought Delvin, who Edwin fights this Saturday, too. But you had a point, News?
No, I was just going to say, man, that, I mean, even though I want Castano to win and put Lara out the pasture, most likely it's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, he's unknown. The only thing I know of him is that fight against Searle, and I know that was a split decision. And when I see fighters that have split decision fights against fighters of that caliber, I'm not going to just, I can't consciously pick you. Like, I can't in good faith pick you to beat Arizlandi Lara, but I can pick you in good hate to pick Arizlandi Lara. So let's go. Let's go, Castano. I'm picking you in good hate to beat Lara because I need Lara to get out of the way. I need him out of the way. I need J-Rock in that spot. I need Lubin in that spot. I need to see these younger guys. I'd even like to see Jaime Munguia. I need to see them getting it in at 154 with the young faces, the young fresh faces before Jared Hurd trots up to 160. I need to see it.
All right, so
I got you. I was about to say we probably don't spend a little bit too much time on this, and I was going to transition to Ortiz and Hammer.
Take a vote.
No, wait. I just think Arizlandi Lara stand just walked in the back door.
Is that King P?
No, no. I like Lara, but I don't stand Lara.
My sister just texted me. She said, we gotta stop beating up Laura, man. She fucks with Laura. She just texted. She listening to us live. She's just like, we better stop giving him hell, man.
Yo, shout out to Miles' sister. Yo, right. So let's take a vote because we got five of us here. News, you're going with Castano. Pat?
Good hate.
I'm going with Castano.
I'm going Laura.
P?
I'm going Lara.
And I'm going Castano with a hate upset victory.
Yep.
3-2, split decision.
There we go.
Castano by hate.
It's going to be a close one. Castano is good. So I could see it happening, unfortunately.
But yeah, man, what about the, I guess, I don't know if the Ortiz fight is a co-main event, but are we, should be expecting a knockout?
Of course.
I hope so.
I mean,
yeah, the fight is straight up trash. It's a trash fight.
Yep, that's what Lard, I mean, that's what Ortiz, he doesn't get anybody.
Yeah.
He doesn't get anybody.
So tell me this. So you have, let's say you're a boxing promoter, right? And you have two Puerto Rican cats. You make them fight in New York, right? Or like Puerto Rico or some shit. So, Luis Ortiz is from Cuba. Arizlandi Lara is from Cuba. So, naturally, they are fighting in fucking Brooklyn?
Hey.
Like, I don't understand why that card is not in, like, Miami or something of that nature.
I just don't think, like, even in Miami, I just don't think there's an overwhelming Cuban fan base in the States. It's not right. Enough of them in the States to really make up a huge fan base.
Yeah, boxing hasn't really migrated to the state of Florida like that.
I mean, didn't Lara fill, like, a horse racing track or stadium or whatever?
Yeah, the odd thing about Lara is, because I know when he had that fight in the dog track, I mean, it popped a crazy rating because it was on a Friday night too. It was the one that was before
Foreman, right?
Track and James DeGale, yeah.
Yeah, you're in Foreman.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, that, I mean, I think that fight should have been held in Florida too. So why did he bring up to New York? And I mean, it's kind of weird because, like I said, because this car didn't really have that, doesn't have any buzz going really, you know? So it's just like, it probably would benefit for it to actually be in somewhere that's close to has a large Cuban contingent, you know what I'm saying?
Like Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to build them. You got to build them in that place, too. Build them and it will build it and they will come. And there's been, as far as I know, no effort to build any type of Keith Thurman real fan base, Arizona Dara right. real fan base, Luis Ortiz. Maul lives in Florida. I don't
know. Yeah. Because Thurman's last fight in Florida was when he fought Collazo in 2015 in St. Pete, Tampa.
Yep. Yo, shake my head.
Yeah, about that. I mean, shit, he really haven't fought much since then, but that's a different story. But
yeah, I mean, PBC going PBC.
I mean, right. they should put them more in their home state, but it's like, I don't know. Really depends. It depends. Like it's different with New York because
in New you York, live there because you yeah, live there.
No, I'm like, it's just in New York. It's just mostly in New York City. Whereas Florida, it's scattered all over the place. Like you just mentioned Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman fights out of the Tampa Bay area, St. Petersburg. So for other people from Florida that like, cause it's fucking far. Like what, is it Maul from like Jacksonville or something like
right,
that?
Right, that's
a, mm-hmm. hours away. That's fucking hours away.
5 hour drive.
Exactly. Hey,
that's not nothing. That's not nothing. AB left 4.5 hours from me.
Yep. You go from Cleveland to Cincinnati, all the way on the other side of Ohio.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But if you build your fighter up in his city,
right,
the people will come to him. Like, it,
right. like you build up a good card, he damn right.
Yep, people would go to see Floyd to go see Keith Thurman. If Keith Thurman was fighting Danny Garcia. And it would have been in somewhere in.
If Keith Thurman's last card was in Florida, I would have went. The last card that he just his return card, I would have went.
Yeah, of course. See? Yeah,
I'm sure that would be for a lot of people. It's just they don't get the opportunity.
Right.
It's just like.
Well,
but,
I mean, I think it's because I don't know. PBC operates a little differently, but I've noticed that like once, like with a lot of the PBC fighters, when they start out coming in. They start out fighting out of their home base, and then once they get, you know, once you get like to a certain point, you don't go back. Like I'm saying, like Keith Thurman hasn't went back to what 2015. What was the last time Danny Garcia fought in Philly? You
know right. what I'm saying? Last time Wilder fought, was it Melina Wilder's last fight in Bama?
The one that was rocking and rolling.
That was
Spilka. I think one was it Spilka? No, Spilka was in Brooklyn.
Right. Was it?
Wait, it had been Melina.
Yeah, I was gonna say Melina or no Duhopolis. No. That was after. That was
yeah.
Either way, man. All I expect out of Luis Ortiz is to give us a knockout of the night candidate. A highlight reel knockout, so we can put up some clips so the fans can enjoy. That's all I see out of it.
Hey, now that we already here on the heavyweights, let's transition to our last topic. We have gotten word that Eddie Hearn was talking about the offer to Deontay Wilder. You guys fill in the details for me. I honestly didn't get to see it, but I heard of it, but I didn't have time today to really look into it.
I believe I saw something about they said that Eddie Hearn said that he will give Wilder $15 million to fight like Dylan White on the zone. As long as he like contractually signed to fight Joshua afterward.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's not gonna happen. That's bullshit.
Pat, what you think about that?
I mean, right now it's just. I mean, I believe it when you know something's moving. I mean, it's just. You know, either just Hearn probably and just another tactic for him just to get Wilder to sign something. I mean, personally, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So, this is nothing for me to react unless Wilder actually does sign it. In that case, like, oh, we have something, to, you know, we have something to talk about regarding that. It's just, you know, right now it's just talk.
Yeah, but you know what the crazy thing about it is that you have to sit there and. Like as a boxer, I would think that you have to sit here and be loyal to faith. In that sense, you have to be loyal to faith, because if somebody's saying to you, "I'll give you $15 million to fight Dominic Brazil next on my network," and you say, No, I'm not going to take it. But you know, Anthony Joshua's about to get like $30 million. You know, Tyson Fury's about to get $20-some million. And you're going to end up fighting Dominic Brazil on TV for about $6 million.
If that.
And then what if you never get the Anthony Joshua? What if you never get the Anthony Joshua fight? What if Showtime never brings that back? What if you never get that deal? Like, at the end of the day, I understand about unifications, but then at the same time, I understand about, like, everybody wants that money. When you see everybody else getting these huge deals and these huge purses, when do you turn around and you look at your team and say, what's wrong with y'all? Where is my money at? Where is my big... You don't even have to offer me a network deal. Where is my contract? Why aren't you offering me, just strictly off the fact I'm Deontay Wilder, why aren't you offering me strictly 5 years, five fights, $75 million, just off top? I shouldn't have to go. I don't understand why he's getting that type of deal now.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't understand what PBC is doing. I really don't.
I was told a long time ago by a clan that cash rules everything around me, right? So you see these PBC bags and they're coming in at like $2 million, $1.5 million. And you know that they're getting money under the table in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Because there's no way, allegedly, possibly, in another world, there's no way that Wilder's actually fighting for $2 million. Mikey Garcia is fighting for $3 million, et cetera, et cetera. But if I'm Wilder, how do you not take a serious look at that offer?
At this point, why not? Why don't you just take it?
Right, so $15 million, and let's you cut out 60%, right? Because he's only gonna get 60%. Like, let's be honest. So that comes to about, like we were saying, $6.5 million. You have one fight with $6.5 million, and you win it against someone, Dylan White, who's basically he's a high level sparring partner against you, and then you get a $50 million fight. Like, how could you possibly say no?
He says,
and the only way that you could say no is Al Haymon.
So Eddie Hearn said he doesn't have to come sign with me to come and fight on DAZN. He can come and fight on my shows, basically meaning you could still be PBC. If he's got offers out there for $15 million to fight for a voluntary defense, it could be against Brazil, White, Kalnacki. I'm not looking to tie you into 5-6 fights like Top Rank. We got to do one voluntary, then two Joshua fights. Now, again, I'm not saying, I'm not saying that you run out there and take it, but like, I totally agree. Like, how can I hear those type of numbers and not at the very least go back and turn around to my team and say, nobody should be offering me, should be able to even come to me and say, well, I can give you more money because I should already be paid like them. Well, they shouldn't be getting more than me. Why am I dealing with you when other people are getting $20 million, $15 million just because? And I got to sit here and look at me fighting Dominic Brazil for about 6 or 7. That's not cool for the stature.
Not good business, right?
In my opinion.
Yo, that ain't it. If I'm Wilder, I am, like you said, News. I'm having a serious meeting with my squad. I am definitely taking text messages from Eddie Hearn.
I'm calling.
Nah. So here's the thing. You turn on read receipts, you read them, and then you ignore. Watch that number grow from 15 million to 18 million, et cetera.
Wilder just got to understand, too. He's not old, but he's just not getting any younger either, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo, but that's the thing. He's got that nuclear power, and
But I think one thing, News, or I think Pat said it, the longer you push it back, the more chance you leave to an upset. And we've seen how vulnerable Wilder's been, you know what I'm saying? So he's going to bet on himself one time, and that luck going to run out, and then what?
Man, you got to get that bag, man. Like, I really do feel like you got to get that bag. I know it's like people say, well, yes, Floyd left Aaron, but you got to realize what Floyd did. Floyd didn't just leave Aram. He left the guy that was holding him back.
That's what he right. did. It wasn't personal against Aram. He left the guy that was holding him back. Al Haymon worked perfect for him. Well, if there's an opportunity, guess what? For some of y'all, Al Haymon is not the best promoter or the best team. PBC is not the best team for you. Right. Once you realize that, you go start making a little more money. Mm-hmm. You'd start making a little more money. If you see everybody's path is not the same. Y'all all running down the same path trying to do the exact same thing. It doesn't work Danny that Jacobs. Way. Life doesn't work that way.
Hey, look at Danny Jacobs.
More Danny Jacobs, right.
Danny is still technically with Al. So,
true,
I mean,
but
he didn't just stay with Al. He went over with Eddie Hearn.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the deal is right. See, I'm suspicious about this. Like, okay, the way I look at it, this is just my business. Like me thinking, because I'm always thinking, like, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. So I feel like he's going to offer him like $15 million to come over and fight a guy lower than him, just so that he can fuck him over in the actual fight that actually matters and give him less than what he should be.
Hey, you know, would
like
you...
like $15 million against Dillian White, like that just sounds fishy.
So wait,
won't that be his career high?
Is it $15 million or pounds? Because 15 million pounds is like more than $15 million.
It'll be dollars.
Yeah, I don't think
But you know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Like, would you, when we talk about the PBC and Hearn and all that, would you rather be Danny Jacobs or would you want to be Jamal Charlo right now?
DJ.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yeah, Charlo's saying,
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Look at it this way. Danny before the Triple G fight was fighting on fucking undercards, fighting the Sergio Moras of the world. And then he took control, and then he basically took advantage of a shot with Triple G. And then, you know, he got HBO, and now he's on the biggest fight of the year. So
The difference with Danny Jacobs is you can tell that Hearn is looking out for the best interest of Jacobs, whereas I don't think he's looking out for the best interest of Wilder, because fucking Joshua is his fighter and he said you don't have to sign to me. So you're not going to help somebody that's not on your team that you're telling him, oh, you don't have to be on my team. Why would you give him more help than like that?
But you know what the crazy thing is? Deontay Wilder could sign with Eddie Hearn. Like, we acting like he can't even sign. Deontay Wilder doesn't have a promoter. He could sign with Eddie. He could sign with Mayweather promoter. He could sign with Top Rank. That's my point. These guys don't have a promoter. They're all trying to follow this Floyd, but they don't even have a Mayweather promotions. There's no Wilder promotions. There's nothing. It's just like an image. It's an image. It's a facade. It's a rotating. Right. Supervisors of substitute teachers is coming to teach a class that they call promoters every time a fight happens. Where's their real promoter? They don't have an Eddie Hearn. They don't have a Bob Arum. They don't have a Don King. They don't have none of them guys. And they're sitting there going head to head. And I'm tired of this image that's put off. Because at the end of the day, your numbers, the fight attendance, everything is showing you need a damn promoter. Like, at the end of the day, you're not Floyd Mayweather. You need a damn promoter. Get one and get this money. If not, if we wanted the unifications, okay, cool. But at this conversation, I'm just saying the man offering you $15 million, there is no way in the world anybody that came from the bottom would get offered $15 million, something that they haven't, that should be offered to them by their own team. They should be already getting that. That number should be a ridiculous, he should look down on that number. You know, I should be at the point of my career. If Tyson Fury is getting what he's getting, if Anthony Joshua is already getting what he's getting, I should be getting that already. Where I should be looking at you like $15 million,
right?
$15 million.
Dog. And fight wise, you're looking better. You know, Brazil than fighting Fury again. Nah, that's not on the same level than fighting Dillian White than fighting AJ. You know what I'm saying? Like, recognition wise, beating Brazil. So ain't nobody gonna know who the fuck that is, but Dillian White at least have a name to him. You know what I'm saying? Somewhat, some credibility to him. Then
I'm just I'm tired of these promoters. This stuff is reminding me of the Monday Night Wars, man. That's what it reminded me of when WWF and WCW, when it was split up. It's like, they're acting like these PBC fighters are, it's like a what is it? Remember, you know how them dogs, and we have a dog, but they don't have a leash, but then you put the electrical fence up, and they act like they can't leave because it's a fence. It's a fence there.
Yeah.
But they can't. That's what the fucking PBC is. That's what PBC is. Until guess what? Danny Jacobs actually is still with Al Heyman and signed Eddie Hearn.
Yeah.
You can
look
do
at
that.
Look at Amir Khan.
You can do that. Right. Look at Amir Mikey Khan. Garcia is doing what he wants to do. You can do that. You can bounce. You can go whatever you want to do. Y'all being tied down. So what? You're tied down to PBC, Showtime. Maybe I'm Showtime. Maybe I'm Fox. You don't even know what you are. You don't even know what you are.
You I had signed 360 deals.
Come on, man. This is crazy. It's ridiculous. And people got to call themselves top athletes. NBA players don't got to know who. They know who the guy they report to is. You don't even know who your promoter is going to be for this fight. You don't even know who your promoter is going to be for your next fight. That's crazy.
Walk in there and see Floyd in there like, what the hell? What?
I mean, that's the same thing as back in the day when DOC signed a record deal for a chain.
That's janky as fuck, man.
Yeah, but janky. Shout out to Deontay Wilder if you're listening. Come join the Ringside Rave promotional group because we got you, dog. We know how to promote these fights. $15 million—that ain't nothing.
Listen, man, I'm not even joking about it. I'm talking serious. Like, man, there is no way in the world some man would be able to offer me some money that, like, offer me something I should already be getting. And like me and my team would definitely be having a meeting right now. You're not gonna throw numbers at me. You're not gonna throw numbers at. That's like throwing dollars at somebody. That's disrespectful. Where I come from, that's disrespectful. You don't throw numbers at me. My team, I should be getting this money now. I'm the champ. I'm undefeated. I'm the WBC champ.
Right.
I got the green belt. I knocked out the most fighters in this division. I'm undefeated. I'm that dude. No
what you think about it?
Imagine that.
Pat, what's your thoughts on that? Pat and P, man, what's y'all thoughts on what news is saying?
Now, news is saying gospel. Straight up and down. Like I said, you know, PBC needs to get all, you know, needs to get away from its whatever its hive mind is, man. They need to take some real control over their careers, not do what Al tells them to do.
Mm-hmm. And Pat, you've been saying that for the longest too, though, man.
Like I said, man, I see things clearly. 2020, like my man knew, man. I see it. It's that foresight.
Well, by
2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
But I think, my bad, Smoke. But yeah, I think we can. I think that's a good stopping point for tonight, man. For this live episode.
Sorry, wrap it up before I get us in trouble, man. I can't believe this. We just want to see the best. We just want to see the best boxing. We want to see the best fights. And I'm tired of seeing fighters tell us that they their own bosses, but yet they can't fight another fighter. That does not make sense. Like, it literally does not make sense. How am I a boss, but I can't fight another boss who's his own boss? Right. What the hell? And that, like, what kind of stuff is that? Like, I don't understand.
Right. Then came out Andre Ward neck again. I was like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like,
whoa, that's another show, bro.
Yeah. We definitely had to talk about that on the next show.
Yeah, Wilder going at Ward. I'm like, damn, brother, what's good with it, man? But yeah, that's definitely another show, man. News, go ahead and wrap it up, bro. Pause.
Oh man, well, again, man, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode. We're episode 26. I'd like to thank all my fellas for stopping through, having a drink with me, having a smoke with me. We'll see y'all again. Y'all want to come through Saturday and do a show during Laura's channel for the people?
We definitely doing a live show on Saturday.
We probably need to do one to stay awake.
I mean, we going to be the entertainment that night.
All right, y'all. So y'all here. We're going to be here Saturday during the Laura Castano fight. So we see y'all then. We out.
Peace.
Peace, one.